Okay, so why did you guys make a new album? I mean, you guys are the type of band that have total name recognition. You can tour as much as you would like. So what was the logistics behind that?
Well, I think given, you know, the band's musical history, I thought it was really important for this group to put its own sort of stamp on what that was or what that is. And the songwriting from within the group is still happening at a very, you know, on a very, I think, significant level. So because we were able to write what I think are really worthwhile and really good songs, and that the band was, you know, performing at a high level, that it was, you know, sort of our perceived responsibility to ourselves as artists to go out and, you know, put that musical personality on a recording and offer it up to the fans so that they could come and see the band and relate to new music and try and make the band relevant to today rather than just a memory.
Okay, great. What was the creative process behind this album? How did you guys put it together?
Well, we started writing amongst ourselves. Billy Crane and I, it turns out, you know, had a lot of success writing together. Chris Anderson and I wrote together, and he and I and Billy collaborated on a few songs, as did Randy and Dave Robbins. So the writing community within the group was pretty, vital and very healthy, and we were able to, and also it's very important to mention that we had this luxury of time. There wasn't any, like, label agenda breathing down our backs to come up with a record right away, you know, and so over probably a 2.5 year period, we were able to put these 11 or 12 songs together to go in and make what we thought would be a classic record or what we hoped would be one. And I think, you know, looking back at it and putting it on the player and listening down, that we were able to succeed at doing that in as much as this record really represents the band's first album. And not unlike the Outlaws' first album or the Henry Paul Band's first album or Blackhawk's first album, usually the first album is the one that people sort of love the most. And so I think that we were able to, write and record a record that was memorable and that people were very fond of and affectionate towards.
Okay, considering that, I mean, with the Outlaws name, people expect certain things, you know, like the guitar work, the four-part harmony in the vocals, some, like, you know, the banjo elements and things like that. That's all there in this album, but it still has a modern feel. It still feels crisp. It still feels new. How did you guys do it?
Well, I think the musical personalities involved understood what the Outlaws' music was. They were a part of creating it. And I think recording in a modern environment, digital recording, so to speak, and the advantages of all of what that represents from an editing standpoint, I think that we were able to, in subtle ways, in our songwriting, in the recording process, we were able to, you know, create a mood musically and lyrically that was, while traditional and faithful to the band's musical personality, it was clearly something that was written and recorded today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard question to answer how we did it, but I know that we were conscientious about both dimensions of what the record represented. We wanted to be, I think most importantly, faithful to the music that the Outlaws embody. But we were working in, you know, in, in, generation where we had the advantages of what today represents. And I think lyrically it does sort of reflect maybe improvement on the part of our individual efforts as songwriters. You know, I think we've gotten better at writing songs over the years, and I think we've written, you know, some pretty darn good ones this time. And we wrote them for our audience and for ourselves, how we felt, how we felt they felt. And we kind of wrote almost like a letter to these people in the form of a song. It's a weird analogy. I never thought of that one before. But it was almost like you were writing to a friend.
Listening through the album, I mean, a lot of the songs, yeah, they represent, you know, what the Outlaws stand for, and they've, like you said, improved upon the formula. Alex's song, though, it sounds a bit different. Like, I thought of Pure Prairie League, or like the Marshall Tucker Band when I heard that song the first time. How'd that song come about, and how'd you, you know, decide to put that on the album? I love it. It's a beautiful song. It's just a little different from what you guys usually do.
Oh, that's a song that we wrote with Randy. Billy and I wrote with Randy. Yes, and you're complete. What we were trying to do, truth be told, you bastards, what we were trying to do was we were trying to create a kind of a Tim Schmidt moment on the record.
Mm-hmm.
To where after Don Henley or Glenn Frey had, you know, churned out these songs over and over, that a breath of fresh air vocally might appear, and the musical delight and beautiful character of that song would give people, you know, a just a little sort of oasis of of beauty, mm-hmm, amidst a lot of these other kind of dark and angry, you know, musical, mm-hmm, offering. So it was sort of like something that we did just to offer up a little contrast to the fairly consistent musical style of the record.
It's kind of like your Love Will Keep Us Alive in a way.
That, or, you know, I Can't Tell You Why.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of like that idea. And if you listen to that record, I don't want to get into the winded part of this deal, but if you listen to it, that 12-string part, you know, is sort of British sounding.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Peter and Gordon. You know, there's an old British quality to it, and then there's clearly, like you said, a 70s Poco Pure Prairie League, you know, pretty vocal thing that Randy embodies. And so, you know, I thought that song might, you know, have a chance on adult contemporary radio because it's so pretty. And,
oh, absolutely.
I still think that.
I think that too. I mean, it just kind of caught me by surprise. I'm listening to the song and the album, and I'm kind of skipping around and stuff like that. And I heard It's About Pride, and I'm like, oh my god, this song's great. And I click on something else, and then I'm like, this is pretty, you know? It's just different, you know? But I think every tough guy that likes, you know, the Outlaws has a soft spot in their heart for stuff like this, too. So it's kind of like you're not supposed to like it, but you really do. So
you can't be more right. You can't say it any more better. You can't say it better than what you just did. It's like, you can't, because, I mean, all of the guys, and let's face it, Outlaw fans are predominantly male.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, you know, come to that song and they're going, what the hell is that? But then, you know, if you're, and I'm like this, you know, you could make a case for sometime down the road it being one of your favorite things on the record, just because it takes a little more time for you to wrap yourself around it. But once you do it, it has, I know it's good. I know it's good. I love it. And so instinctively, I feel like that opinion will be pervasive amongst people eventually, because I just love it.
So as far as you were talking before about having the album be like a letter to your fans, It's About Pride really sounds like that. It's like you're talking about, you know, everything that the band has been through and everything that music has been through. Is that the case?
Well, yes, and I, you know, it was like a kind of a testimonial, like, because I do feel a sense of pride having been a part of something like the phenomena of Southern rock, which, when it was happening, wasn't really referred to as that. It was some sort of a term that came up later. But it was a very impressionable time, not only for myself personally, but for the American popular musical landscape. And to spend time together on the road with the Marshall Tucker Band or the Charlie Daniels Band or the Lynyrd Skynyrd Group or, dare I say, the Allman Brothers, you know, it was like, it was like, you know, a dream. It was like a dream, and it was like you couldn't have asked for a better reward to your work, you know, than to be a part of that. And then, you know, in that second verse, you know, I kept trying to, or Billy and I actually kept trying to substantiate our affection and detail our connection to, you know, the emotions that created that image, musical image,
mm-hmm.
from, you know, Midnight Rider to Sweet Home Alabama to Charlie Daniels' record Fire on the Mountain, or whether it was, you know, Toy Caldwell's Can't You See? It was like every one of those images was a cornerstone to that moment in time. And then we have an optimistic outlook for the last verse, you know. And I was a little reticent to sing the line, like a faded southern uniform, my hair has turned to gray. I thought, maybe that's a little too corny, or maybe it's a little too History Channel or whatever. But I think ultimately people kind of embrace that, you know, kind of homespun lyrical approach. And, I don't know, I just, that song was clearly sort of the message of the album.
Okay. As far as you guys, how do you guys stay in shape musically? I mean, your songs are known to be epics. They're these long songs. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that, like, Green Grass and High Tides is on Rock Band, the video game. And I've seen kids, like, kind of give up, 14, 15-year-olds give up after, like, 4 or 5 minutes because the song is so intense. And you guys just rock out to this stuff all the time, these 5, 6-minute songs where there's no let-up. How do you keep your voice in shape? How do you stay in shape musically?
Well, you work at it. And I you know, the guitar players in the band, both Chris Anderson and Billy Crane, the lead guitar players in the band, they're gifted in a way that is very rare. It's a musical personality that is specific, very sort of specific. And it is not easy. But for them it is. I mean, for them it's a natural style of play. These two guys grew up, you know, memorizing, you know, Live at the Fillmore. So they understand that. And they, not speaking out of turn for them, but I think that they, that's one of the more significant talents, is that they have the emotion, the physical capacity and the emotional capacity to lay that smack down. And the band behind them, I'll just say, is churning out this dynamic, high and low sort of dynamic to the music, where there's breathing spaces, and then there's just an absolute overwhelming ass whipping, and then it lets up for a minute where you can breathe, and then it goes back to whipping your ass. And it's just, we have a style of play that is predicated on our understanding of how to do that. And, you know, as a singer, I got better as a singer later in my life, and all the guys in the band that sing with me, lead singers like Chris Anderson and well, everybody in the band has a lead voice of sorts and a great ear for harmony. And so if you go out there with the Outlaws and you're playing really at a high level and you're singing and writing at a high level, and you got to assume somebody eventually is going to notice. And we're just kind of in that sort of early stage of this band's return to be optimistic that people will catch on and embrace it, because the Allman Brothers never really got that popularity spike until way later in the career, and they had already done a great body of work before people figured it out. So, and I'm not comparing us to them, Jesus. But I am saying that we've made a really, I think, significantly good record, and we do put on a great show, and I think people are slowly sort of discovering the group, and it's exciting.
Okay, is there anything else that you want to say about this album? It releases in about a month.
No, I mean, I just want to give everybody in the group credit. This is such a great band effort, and everybody in the band worked so hard on it. And I'm here to represent the other five members of this group in this interview. And from Monty and Billy and Chris and Randy and Dave, you know, I really want to make sure that those people get an enormous amount of credit, because their talent is so... So deeply, indelibly ingrained in this performance, they all deserve a round of applause for their work, because they did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job doing this.